back to Bit by Bit, here for another coffee break. I'm Janet, here with Jess.
Hi.
And today we're going to be talking about video game difficulty. So we're going to be thinking about and exploring how different games approach game difficulty, what we think like works for us as players, like what difficulty we select. Do we do a playthrough on medium and then go to hard? Like, what do we think about locked difficulties? And I know this will be super relevant too when Jess, I don't know how much you heard about the Breath of the Wild DLC packs,
mm-hmm.
but in one of the packs, one of the things you get is a hard mode.
That's
like,
great.
The hard mode is, but it's like in DLC form, so it's like.
There's actually a few other instances of that.
Yeah, really? Okay, mm-hmm. cool. So so I guess I can kick things off. I guess we can kind of start with like how we play and then maybe what we like or look for in things. So for me, I always play on normal. Woo! So yeah, I play on normal because I'm super basic, but I'm not so basic that I play on easy mode. So the thing with easy mode, it's funny because I try really hard to be like not like a jerk. I think everyone should try not to be a jerk about things. Mm-hmm. But for easy mode, I will legitimately say that I do wholeheartedly believe, and it's just not trying to be mean, I think easy mode is for children, or if you want to just do story. Like, if you're like...
That's why it's called story
mode. Yeah, sometimes they call it story mode, too. Yeah, the labels. Mm-hmm. So those are the reasons that I think you should play on easy mode if you're like... You know, and I think, Jess, didn't you, either you went through this or you suggested that I do it for, like, Mass Effect 1, you said just, if, you know.
Dragon Age Origins.
Dragon Age Origins,
it's the first, yeah, of a different BioWare, mm-hmm. you know, IP.
It's all BioWare.
yeah, no, I think that is the case, what you should do for Dragon Age Origins. And it's actually, it baffles me, because some people, like, they go hard for Dragon Age Origins. They're like, it's the best game in the series. And I'm like, no, it's not even remotely true. It's got all sorts of problems. It's all glitchy and weird. And, like, the leveling's strange. And sometimes you're, like, matched, it's not very fluid, you know? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times if you're fighting an enemy, in most games, it's a leveling factor so that, like, when you face a stronger enemy, you're also a little bit stronger yourself. Like, you're not fighting the craziest enemies uh-huh. at the beginning of the game. Sometimes in Dragon Age Origins, it's just like, why am I doing this? What's happening? There's no way for me to beat this right now or whatever. And then other mm-hmm. times, without changing the difficulty at all, other times, you know, it's like, dead, 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 killing everything, you know? So it's kind of a strange situation because it's like goes up and down so much. Mm-hmm. I got so frustrated with it, and I was really only playing Dragon Age Origins because I was trying to build a whole narrative from Origins to Dragon Age mm-hmm. 2 to Dragon Age Inquisition. Because
it's one of those games where the story like carries over, kind of?
Yes. It's not so much as like with Mass Effect where you're literally the same person each uh-huh. game. Because you're different people in each of the Dragon Age games, but like world stuff stays mm-hmm. the same. So if something happened in your universe in the first game, it affects the universe in the third game.
Mm-hmm.
And like your relationship dynamics or who can come into the game when you're playing later. So I wanted to go through, because I'd played Dragon Age Inquisition, so I wanted to finally go through and play the whole series and sort of get that effect. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was playing Dragon Age Origins. And honestly, I tried to play Dragon Age Origins first when it came out, and then like three times after that, and I quit every time because I was like so annoyed with mm-hmm. like the way that it worked. And so to finally get through it so I could like play the rest of my games, I was like putting it on easy and like rolling through this game because it was that ridiculous. So uh-huh. I do recommend that if you're playing the Dragon Age series because you want the whole story effects, to put it on easy and beat it. I mean, it's interesting and fun in a lot of ways, and it's not like it's a horrible game story wise, but like mechanically, it's not good. So anyway, yeah,
sounds like a very traumatic experience.
It was.
Yeah, so that's a reason to play on easy. I haven't played on easy in a really long time because I haven't encountered a game where I had that situation. Yeah, so I think. And the reason I have, like, this belief, too, I think is because when I was really young, like, really, really young, because as, you know, you guys know who have been following the show, me and Jess have both been playing games since we were very small children. So when I was a very small child, I'd play on easy, I'm pretty sure. There's some games just don't even have a mode, either.
Yeah,
like, a lot of older games actually don't.
Mm-mm.
They're like, this is Yoshi. And to be honest, it's actually already really easy. But mm-hmm. as a kid, I thought it was so hard. So, like...
Everything's hard when you're a kid.
I think I told this story on the show before, but... What is it? Yoshi's Island. I was going to say Yoshi's World. That's not Yoshi's Island. Yoshi's Island was super hard to me as a child. And then I was playing, like, a port or a different version or, like, you know, Yoshi's Island 2. It was, like, just a different in the series. Later when I was older, I'm like, this is incredibly easy. I was like, what are you having? And then I was thinking to my past self, I'm like, what's so hard, you idiot? Like, just move out of the way. Get the baby back when you get hit. It's not difficult. But as a kid, it was difficult. So
for sure.
So I did use easy mode as a kid if I could. And then I remember, distinctly remember at one point, I was playing a game. I don't know what game it was, which kind of kills a little bit of the story. But I don't know what game I was playing. But I sat down with my controller and I was with my brother. And whenever the mode screen pops up and we're both together, we always kind of have like, almost always have a quick discussion or confirmation of what's about to happen next. Kind of like normal, like, you know, you read hard and you're like, mm-mm, that's not me. I'm like too basic for this. Like normal, just keep it at normal. Sometimes it has different names. And I remember asking my brother, I'm like, should I do normal or easy? And he's like, you have to do normal now because easy is for children. And so I was like, yeah. And it's like, it was like part of growing up. It's like, no, now it's time.
It's time to move on.
You're normal now. You're no longer, you can't do this anymore.
It's like bowling with the bumpers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're for kids. And yeah, there's some adults using them. And, you know, it's a little weird. And it's just like, fine, if that's how you want your experience to be. You're paying for this. Like, so have the experience you want. But honestly, you're not going to be you're not playing the same game as the rest of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's definitely that. I mean, it's fine. So And that's really the fact of the matter is, yeah, you're paying for this. You should enjoy it. It's just like bowling. You pay for your game. You should enjoy it. But, like,
you know
still.
What, though? Counter argument. Because at first I thought, I'm like, yeah, that's definitely true. You know, you're not playing the same game. If you're bowling with bumpers, it's a different game than when you're not bowling with bumpers. I think especially because bowling specifically, like, you get that ricocheting effect. You know, that it can, like, still end up down the thing. But with easy mode, I think if you really suck, you might still be playing the same game as the people that are good. Like, legitimately.
That's true. Because, no, it might still be as much of a challenge to you.
Yeah, because, and, you know, I think of this in terms of, which is, you know, one reason that I try not to be, like, too much. Like, you know, if you're playing easy and you're not doing it as a child and it's not just for the story, you just, like, legitimately are that bad. You know, however you want to, you know, if that gets you through the game and if you can't, if it's, like, clearly that challenging for you, like, you're still challenged on easy mode, then, like, then you should probably be there. But I feel like there's, you know, it's kind of a rare case, and that's kind of why I push people towards normal, or I suggest normal. But if you really suck, I think easy mode could be the same as, like, normal for, like, a person that is a, like, adequate skill level for the genre. Because, you know, I think of easy mode in some ways as, like, so, like, you know, I have an ed background, and there's, like, modifications you can make for, like, any type of anything at any time. So it could be like, hey, and that's, you know, you can, and it doesn't have to be something formal. It could just even be, if you ever ask for a teacher for an extension on assignment, that's a form of modification. You may need that extension because you're a piece of garbage and didn't budget your time well.
You reloaded your save.
Yeah. Or maybe you really did need it for some reason. Maybe something came up, death in the family. You know, there are lots of reasons to mod things in ed. So I think of easy mode in some ways as a mod, especially because I don't know what you think about this, Jess, but, like, I feel like lately easy mode has become, or modes in general have become, a lot more nuanced in really good ways, I think.
Yes, definitely.
I feel like back in the day it was like easy mode. It's like less enemies, or like the enemies are like really dumb. Like they just, you know,
just,
they don't,
like, stand there and wait to die.
Yeah, or they can't, like, kill, you know, something crazy. You know, but lately I feel like easy mode has been a lot of, like, more blatant, like, mods to, like, accommodate your lack of skill in some area. Right?
Sure.
So, like, you know, I think, like, with Mellow Mode in Yoshi's Woolly World, that one's, like, you're Yoshi, but you have little wings, so you can't really die because you can just fly away and it's fine.
Right.
Or Donkey Kong Country Returns for the 3DS, and I'm assuming the Wii U as well, like, the Wii U version, it has, like, I was looking up the guide yesterday to try to see how many worlds I have left. I have 6 worlds left. I'm on world 3.
Oh, my goodness.
It's really long. It's really hard. And I was reading through one of the guides on IGN, and they mentioned that they have kind of an easy mode in that game. But it's not really neat. They call it new mode. So that's, like, weird. Classic Nintendo, right?
Yeah,
new
right? mode. Just stop making crap up, Nintendo.
New mode. But they have new mode. And what that is, I'm playing on normal. There's, like, regular mode, and there's, like, new mode. And new mode, just, like, it's the same game, like, the exact same game. You just get a couple more things. Like, you get extra balloons, I think, which are your, like, lives, you know, in Donkey Kong. And I think you get a couple other, like, kind of extras.
Right.
But, like, it's like the same platforming, the same challenge.
You just have more lives, more chances. Yeah. That's what I get through.
I
super agree with that. I think it's definitely more nuanced now. Even when looking at like how hard mode has become more nuanced. Mm-hmm. And this is my interest in hard mode. Because I've mentioned before on the channel, I believe, that a lot of times what me and my brother will do is we'll sort of like one life a game, like an RPG style mm-hmm. game on the hardest mode possible. So that happens a lot with like Bethesda games because they just lend themselves really well to replaying a lot. Where we'll set it on like legendary mode or survival mode for mm-hmm. Fallout. And then if you die once, you have to delete your character and start over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what makes those a little more nuanced, it's not just like our additions to it, which make it more nuanced, but even just like, for example, in Fallout, the survival mode, which was added later. I don't know if it was actually part of a DLC or if it was like a system update.
In which Fallout?
Fallout 4.
Okay.
I mean, they have these modes in all the Fallouts, but this one specifically is for Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was part of a DLC. It might have been just a general system update that everyone got, but I think it was one of the DLCs that we got for Fallout 4 added survival mode. And for Fallout 4, it was like pre-loaded on Fallout 3, I believe. And you have to eat and drink and sleep to live. So normally in Fallout you can run around and do whatever you want. You never have to sleep or eat.
Mm-hmm.
And eating replenishes your health, sure, you know, and whatnot, but on survival mode you have to drink or you'll get dehydrated. You
mm-hmm.
have to eat or you'll start to starve, and like it affects your stats and eventually can kill you.
Uh-huh.
Same way, you have to sleep or you'll get all sorts of weird, you know. And on hard mode, you know, if you're playing on the survival mode in Fallout, they can be difficult to do those things because they're scarce. It's like post-apocalyptic, you know. Like a universe you're living in, so like clean water that doesn't have radiation, hard to find, you know. Or like finding a bed not completely surrounded by super mutants, hard to find. So I think that's really cool that they do that, and that's like one thing I love. And I also really enjoy, I haven't actually experienced this myself yet, but it's something I'm looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently got the Skyrim, the like new version of Skyrim that allows the mods and everything, special edition.
Yeah.
And obviously Fallout 4 has mod capabilities as well. And one thing I haven't tried yet, but I want to, is using a whole bunch of mods that other people have made that make it more survival-y
uh-huh.
in a game. And so this is like, these are like innovations that other people are bringing to the game, but in a way that sort of works with the game system itself and
mm-hmm.
is supported by the game. So like, I think some of the ones I've heard about are, some of them, like, they sort of enforce the system that my brother and I sort of do on our own. You know,
yeah.
like, if you die, well, there goes your save file, or you can't reaccess that character. That's a mod you can add to some of those games. Other ones have it so that you can, like, carry around, like, a sleeping bag, or, like, they make things a little bit more hunter survival-y,
mm-hmm.
Or they add different levels of difficulty in there, and that's something that modders are doing as well, which I think is really interesting, because obviously the gaming world is very interested in game difficulty as a
yeah.
concept, and like how to enhance your experience. And for me, I think the point of playing something on a hard mode like that is to really like make your narrative experience of a game more fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a good capability for game difficulty.
When you say narrative experience, do you mean kind of like, what do you mean by that?
Okay, so for example, I actually wrote a blog post about this back in college when I was doing an independent study on narratives and games,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of focusing on the Mass Effect universe for that. And one of the things I had discussed in general, even though it's actually not that relevant to Mass Effect as opposed to like other games, is how game difficulty and challenge in a game enhances narrative. So if, for example, if you're playing the game and you're Shepard in Mass Effect and you're like, you know, I gotta save the universe, like, shit's getting really real right now, like, everyone's dying, you know, or whatever, and except for, like, you're running through the game and you can kill everything really easily,
uh-huh.
it doesn't feel like a pressure on you. It doesn't feel like a stress.
Okay.
It doesn't feel like you need to be the hero. It feels like you're invincible.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling invincible nothing feels real. And it's not real, it's a video game, but we like video games to feel real in a lot of ways. I think that's why people play RPGs for the most part. It's a role-playing game. You want to be in the role. And having challenge and difficulty in the role
mm-hmm.
of your character really kind of helps you to enter the game space, I feel like.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
cool. I thought, that's not where I thought you were going with it, but I'm really intrigued by that, and I think that's a good argument for game difficulty, like in video games, whatever that means for you at your skill level. What I thought you were going to go with was, like, the like, other side of game narrative, of, like, personal game narrative. So, like, there's the actual, like, you know, the narrative of the story and you getting immersed in that character, what they're going through, you know, in what's the name of the guy from Resident Evil 7? Is it Ethan? Right?
Evan? Ethan.
Ethan.
No, it's Ethan.
Right, so, like, you know, like getting him, immersed, yeah, getting, like, you know, really feeling like you're Ethan and that you're in that, you know, like, and that's why it's first person. There's, like, lots of ways to immerse in the narrative or connect with, like, the player's narrative. But then I also think of game narrative as, like, what's going on with your, like, experience of the game. Like, and that includes, like, you being aware that it is a game. And for me, that's kind of, like, the stories that come up on, like, the game itself. So, you know, and we went through this when we marathoned Resident Evil 7. If you haven't checked it out, definitely, you know, check out. We have the video and the podcast up for that. We talk about that experience. And for that, you know, my favorite part of playing that game wasn't necessarily, like, what was going on in the story, though I did really enjoy a lot of things about Resident Evil 7, story included. It was like the crazy little things that happened while we were playing. Like, it was, like...
Right, like, but like nutty stuff.
Yeah, and also, like, being able to, like, react, like, to that as a player, like, aware that I'm a player, you know, alongside you, who's, like, also playing it. Be like, oh my god, look what just happened, you know?
Yeah.
And for that, I'm very aware that, like, I'm in a game. And the interesting thing about playing that, you know, marathon style with you and, like, talking it through as two people that have played a lot of games is that we were, like, very, you know, aware of that it is a game, it's a game in the genre, it's an evil game, and using all that knowledge and bringing it in and, like, voicing it.
Mm-hmm.
So even though, like, we spent a lot of that game being, like, in some ways, like, detached from the game, like, just in the way that we were interacting with it, that was, like, a really rich, like, gaming experience, like, for me as a player. So I think, and that comes through the difficulty of it, right? Like, we wouldn't have that, I don't know if I told the story when we did the Resident Evil 7 podcast and video, but my favorite moment in that entire game was when you were running away from, what's the name of the, like, the dad kind of character?
Jack.
You were running away from Jack, and because I don't think we really had any weapons at the time, and you went into the bathroom, but obviously it's a dead end. So, but you walk to the bathroom, and, like, he's clearly following you. He will open the door of the bathroom, but I'm like, you know what? Hide behind the door. When he opens the door, you know, if he goes straight, you can just, like, you know, move around and leave, and then, you know, you just, like, dip, and then kind of, you know, pull the okie doke on there, and, like, so you hid there. I think my brother was around too at this time, and, you know, our friend, mutual friend Catherine, Jess's roommate, my friend. Was also there, so everyone was kind of, you know, witnessed this thing, and, like, what, you know, will this work? It's just crazy enough to work. It didn't work at all. He immediately looked behind the, like, he opened the door and immediately turned and looked behind the door. Like, that was, like, an amazing AI moment. Yeah. You know, one of my favorite moments ever, you know, in, like,
it was terrifying.
Yeah, it was great. And then that's, like, that's not necessarily something that, like, but that, like, you know, that's related to the game's difficulty, like, just the,
right, because
the smartness of the AI.
Yeah, but because if you have, like, stupid enemies, you can do whatever you want. No, and I think that there is a level of, you know,
even though personal we played on narrative.
No, we did, right? Yeah. And you can play it on a harder mode, and maybe I will.
Was it? I think it was locked.
I think you have to first. Most Resident Evils, I think you have to play normal, beat it, and then go back in hard mode, whatever. And I get that, and that's fine. But I think that. I don't think all games need to immerse you. I think if a game's trying to immerse you, game difficulty can be an interesting factor in that. Mm-hmm. But then there's other times where game difficulty doesn't work well, and it takes you out of the experience in a really negative way. And the first thing that comes to mind for me is Evil Within. And I have not beat this game yet, and it's so frustrating to me, because it's a hard game, and I don't mind that it's hard, but the worst part about it is that every time you die, like, you lose so much progress. Like, I'm like, what the heck? So, like... things I'm like, but I already did all of this. I shouldn't have to go back and, like, kill 80 people again and then unlock this. And I'm like, I just need to, like, be able to experiment with what's going to work best. But I don't want to experiment. Because
can you kind
I'm
of
start over?
Give a quick recap on, like, what is the Evil Within? Like, I know it's like a
sure.
You know, it's like scary. You know, I know the box art, right?
I mean, it's basically, and I am not that far into it yet. But basically, what has happened so far into where I'm at is I'm like this cop dude, and I'm going into this hospital because, like, some crazy stuff's going down at this hospital. There's, like, a serial killer or some sort of, like, nasty bloody stuff's happening, and I go in there, and I don't know what happens to me, but there's some, like, weird magic-y, like, death demon stuff going on, and I get, like, wheeled out of the hospital and, like, taken by my friends who are with me, and we're driving and stuff's falling off the world, and then I end up in this weird town. I don't know where any of my friends are. Some weird lady's, like, injecting me in my dreams with stuff, and, like, And I have to kill all these people who are, like, kind of zombies, but not really zombies. Like, there's something wrong with their head because of, like, something that got put into them. It's... So that's Evil Within. And there's a lot of really scary bad guys and, like, big, you know, like, big bad guys. And that's fine, except for, like I said, it's like, I don't mind that it's hard. I'm like, okay, I like the challenge of this. But after I'm playing the same scene for the 50th time...
How do the saves work in that? Like, where... Like, why does it end up being the same thing over and over again?
I don't remember exactly, because I haven't played it since January. So I was like, I'll come back to this in December, because I have to beat all the games I start in 2017. That's one of my goals. I've referenced it in other videos. So this game has to be beaten before 2018. But I'm going to come back to it. I don't remember exactly how it works, but I think that, like, it's mostly, like, autosave features. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I can save... I don't think I can save, like, during, like, certain parts. Okay. So, I don't know. I don't remember exactly how it was, but I remember it being very frustrating. And I think when game difficulty just becomes frustrating, and it's not, like, frustration that fuels anything, it's just, like, you're bad, you suck, this, you know, you won't enjoy this game, like, that's not good.
Yeah. And I think on that note, something that comes to mind for me is a game I've talked about a couple times in this on this series, on this Coffee Break series, which is an indie game called PID.
Oh my god, PID.
It's so fucking hard. So you can like check that out, and I think that was in Darkest Moments in Gaming.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was.
No,
so.
It was.
Yes. Yes, it was.
It had to be.
So we got a video up on that and then the podcast as well. Definitely recommend checking out the video version, because I put in a clip of the part in the game that was so hard, harder than anything I've ever, and why? Why was it like this? I don't understand.
No, I love that one because you were, like, texting me and Catherine. We were out of town or something, and you were, like, losing your mind.
It was so awful. I remember that I went in the hall, I got Gatorade, I, like, went, you know, whole other level of, like, psychology that I just went to. But the thing with that game, funny story with that game, actually, it was the first game I ever attempted to play on hard mode. I'm not a big replayer of games, which I think we've also talked about on the channel, in the / podcast, but, for that reason, I'm not against, like, locked hard mode. I get that makes sense, it gives you a reason to replay, but I'm like, I barely played it the first time, you know,
right.
So that's one reason I haven't done hard mode, and, you know, and, like, there's a lot of reasons I haven't done hard mode. I just feel like it'll be too much, kind of, but for this game, I just felt like, you know what, I'm going to try this on hard. And I played, like, a good, like, third of it. Like, a good chunk of the game I played on hard mode. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, like, it's a pretty hard game just in general. Mainly because your character is really weak. Like, you're a one-hit death character unless you're wearing, like, you can get these little vests. And that'll give you, like, an extra... You're, like, a cute little kind of chunky boy. So it's a very beautiful game. It's a very good game. It's a very hard game. But I, like, recommend checking it out, sort of, if you want to, like... put yourself through that. It's got a lot of great things going for it. So you're like a pretty weak character, and after a while, like, it was like a normal part of the game. Like, it wasn't even a boss, I don't think. But I was playing it and I'm like, you know what, I'm not at this level. Like, so I brought it back down to like normal, I think, or whatever, because I don't even know if there was an easy. That's another thing I really like/ I think every game should have. The ability to change after the fact. Some games lock you in, so I don't know. It's kind of a lot of pressure.
I feel like that's less common now, but I think especially back in the day, it was like, you have to pick this, and it's your life forever. And I was like, whoa, can I have some time to think about it? You know, do a little, I don't know. I think it's a little weird.
Yeah, so, right. So, but it's a game that, in general, is just, I think, a little bit too hard. Yeah, and I think it's interesting, too, how games kind of work around that as well as a form of difficulty. So they won't necessarily, like, maybe they do have modes. But even if they don't have modes, or, you know, they do or they don't, I've noticed some games, especially Nintendo games, because we all know Nintendo is, like, the most, like, kid-friendly company of the, like, the three main ones of Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo. Nintendo is, like, very kid-friendly. And they have, like, they've started to build in, like, these things where you can, like, just skip stuff if it's too hard for you. Like, you can just skip that level. You know, I don't know if you've seen this in games.
No.
And, like, yeah, I think Donkey Kong might do it. I don't remember. But I know Mario, like, 3D Land definitely does it. That's, like, a light definitely, because I haven't played it in a while. No, it definitely does it. And it also has a thing where, there's also, like, kind of the suggested, almost... bring down the difficulty things that like, always...
Like, oh, do you want to, you know, like, the pop-up and...
Yeah, like, don't... Yeah. Remember, there's also... Like, I, you know, this happened with me and my brother playing Woolly's World together, which is a pretty challenging game if you're playing the way we are, where you're trying to do more of the collectibles. Like, our goal is to get all the smiley face flowers. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty hard to do. It's, like, a pretty challenging game. Like, it's a really good one. But, like, I think at one point they're like, remember, there's mellow mode. I'm like, I know there's mellow mode. Get out of my face, you know. Or there's, or for Mario, 3D Land and World, if you die, like, a bunch of times, they'll start you off in the level with, like, a magic item box just appeared. Oh, look, it has, like, an invincibility star that never fades away. It's like, you know, and it's definitely good,
but there's
for...
there's a catch, you know, and then they reel you in.
Yeah. No, there's no... It's just, like, you can just float, like, or you get a Tanuki suit, like, a super magic power Tanuki suit. You can just fly over the whole level and just be done with it. Which,
those are made for, that's made for people who are, single children. That's why. Because there are any siblings. Because your sibling can't come in here. Like, when I played Resident Evil when I was a kid, every time I'd be like, Sam or Mike, you know, but usually Sam because she was better at it. I was like, you gotta come in here because I'm about to go through the hallway where the dogs jump through the window and I can't even handle that crap. So you have to come in here and beat these dogs
for
me because it's at the beginning of the game. I can't do anything else until you beat these dogs for me. So that's for people who don't have siblings, and I think that's nice.
Yeah, I think it's definitely nice. It definitely stings when it's suggested to you.
Yeah, as an you're adult like, who's like...
Yeah. Yeah, and then also, like, I feel really defensive about it because I'm like, well, the game doesn't get the level I'm trying to get at. I could beat the level if I wanted to. I don't want to. I want to collect all the coins, you know, right, like, right, or whatever. Right. I'm like,
you want them to understand
I'm like,
that,
it's like, not that I suck. Know. I'm just on a different stratosphere, you know? It's like, I'm going... the goals I'm trying to achieve are higher than what you think I'm going for.
I'd say, I mean, even just wrapping up, I think one of the best examples of, like, a game that is difficult but highly enjoyable for me is Super Meat Boy.
I was gonna, you want to talk about that? I was gonna bring it up.
You know why it is? I was thinking about it because it's like, yeah, you have to replay it a lot. And really, my problem is not replaying. And I was thinking about why I hate Evil Within so much right now. And maybe I'll change my mind when I eventually beat it, but I don't think so. So... the reason why Super Meat Boy does that better than Evil Within is because Super Meat Boy has shorter levels.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I gotta replay this, like, 5-second clip again, but so what? And then versus Evil Within, it's like, I just lost an hour of my life.
Yeah.
You know? That's a huge difference. And I think that makes it, like, challenging, and it lets you, like, okay, well, I'm gonna try this now, or I'm gonna try this now, or, oh, this first part worked, and now I have decisions A, B, C, D to make once I get to this part to try it, and then you have to try them all out, and then I love at the end... And they make it, like, part of the game, like, how many times you die. I love at the end, at the level where all the Super Meat Boy just, like, flow through and just, like, get shredded because it shows how many times you died.
I think, and that game does such a great job. One of my favorites, like, ever.
So good.
I love it. It's, like, one of the few games that I did beat.
It was one of my first indie games ever.
I think it was my first indie game ever because I'm super basic. I didn't know about Steam or indie games, really, as a thing until I was, like, a freshman in college.
Okay, I didn't know about it until you told me about it, so I'm more basic than you.
Yeah, I watched, like, I'm that person that watched Indie Games the movie, and I'm like, oh my god, my life's different now.
And
like,
then
that
she
was
showed
me.
It to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
I love it. Yeah, but Super Meat Boy is, super great because it, it does that. It very much it celebrates its difficulty, and its difficulty becomes something to rally around. Kind of like, so I think, there are games that, like, if your, like, game culture is built around the difficulty, but in a way that feels, like, some way positive, I think it ends up working. Like, I can't speak towards Dark Souls because I never really tried to play a Souls game. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd like them, cause having played just a small chunk of Bloodborne, which is kind of, like, in that...
same area.
In that whole vein. I don't think it's for me, but I can... like, I think it's cool that, like, the Dark Souls, like, fan community is, like, so, like... in love with, like, that process and with the difficulty of it, and it's, like, its thing, you know, and then, yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see in that sense, in terms of difficulty, how a game like Tumbleseed does. I don't know if you've heard of Tumbleseed yet.
It sounds familiar.
Very new. It just came out. It's an indie game. I believe it's an indie game. It's available on Switch, and I think a few other platforms as well, and it's, like, it's a roguelike, but you're a seed, so I haven't played it, and I don't think I'm gonna play it after hearing more about it, but, like, you have to... it's just, like, really hard, and there's, like, you know, a bunch of enemies, and then, like, some of the items can also kind of hurt you, and they're kind of trying to do that Binding of Isaac thing in terms of the items, you know, oh, you never know, it might take half your health, and but it makes you really, you know, but it, from what I've heard about it, you know, having, like, listened to, like, IGN's Nintendo voice chat and stuff, it just sounds like it's really trying to, like, build, it sounds like it's trying to build its fandom on, like, the hard part, but like maybe it won't like resonate quite as well, because you kind of have to, you got to do it in the right way. You can't just say like
complicated.
Oh, yeah. My thing is that it's really hard. Like you kind of have to like, I think you have to have a motive that's different.
You know what else
is
really hard? Quap. Quap's really hard. And
yeah, and quap is great.
Quap is great, but no one else can make quap now. Like the thing with quap is like, I'm not gonna sit there and try to be good at that for like 50 hours of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, like so.
I love quap.
Quap is fantastic. It really is. And once you figure out the trick to it, it's not that hard, and you just kind of hobble along. But like you can't. I feel like you can't just have it be difficulty. Quap is kind of like, it's stupid funny too, and that's part of its thing. It's just like looking at this guy. Did you see the cosplay I think I posted?
Yes, I was well, I've seen that before. Good. I didn't even like see that you posted on Twitter, but of the guy in the tracksuit
and then, he like goes down on his knee.
Quap is great. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. I think everyone already knows it, so we have to explain it. There's also Clop, which is the same thing but with a horse.
I feel like it was a run. So, it's funnier.
I like it with the... the horse is legs. Funny because, it kind of... I'm not sure if it uses, like, the same... I assume it uses the same keyboard mapping as Quap does, but. So, anyway.
Yeah.
So, some game difficulty. Didn't think we'd end on Quap, but I'm glad we did. Yeah. I think we should end every video talking about Quap. I can't wait till, like, way down the line and we get, like, more stuff and time and... set up all these things and we can do more stream stuff, because I would love for us to play Quap.
Stream Quap all day. 24-hour Quap stream. Go.
Oh, God. I cashed in all my sick days to play Quap and eat Little Caesar's pizza. That's what I want to do.
Yum.
Isn't that their thing? Isn't it? Isn't Yum? No, that's Red Robin. That's what's Robin. Their thing?
It's
pizza. Yeah. So
on that note...
Yeah. Okay, so... thanks for checking this out, guys. Be sure to let us know what you guys think of game difficulty. Where do you start off? We could have, talked about this for like hours, but we want to keep it brief. So where do you guys start off with game difficulty? How do you like build towards progression in game difficulty, which is, also something that we didn't get time to touch on, but what do you, think about different modes? What do you look for in your difficulty modes? How do you feel about DLC being like how you access those hard modes? And things like that. Your favorite examples of a hard game, your least favorite examples of a hard game. What do you think it takes to like have a game be hard, but like to still get it right with players? What does that require? What does it look like? Let us know in the comments below. You can also hit us up on social media, on our Twitter or our Facebook, if you want to get in touch.
There's a Pinterest now too.
Yeah.
I don't know if we mentioned that in our last video. I think we did, but like it still exists, so check it out.
Yeah, so our, let's see if we can get this right. Okay. We should just write it on a card, but we haven't yet, so I don't know why we're not doing that. So you can follow us on Facebook and Pinterest at Bit by Bit Gamers. And then our Instagram and Twitter is Bit by Bit Gaming.
Yes.
Right? And we also just launched our website, which is super awesome and exciting. And that's 100% bitbybitgamers.com. And you can go there as like, it's just basically a big hub for all of our information. So you can easily link to any of our social media.
Videos.
Yeah.
Links back to our podcast. Mm-hmm. Eventually going to introduce some blogging on there.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Yeah. And as we launch more things, we'll be posting, announcements, all that stuff on there. But if you're looking for like, where do we find like literally everything about what we do, who we are, why we do it, that'll all be on bitbygamers.com. The about, inspiration, videos, all of our socials, everything's linked on there, so definitely check that out.
Yeah, and guys, thank you so much for watching our videos, listening to our podcast. We really, really appreciate having you part of our audience. Make sure to give the video a thumbs up, mm-hmm. or give our podcast a rating. That's really important. If you feel like buying us a cup of coffee, because obviously we drink a lot, we have a Patreon set up now.
Oh, not Patreon.
Not Patreon, sorry. I meant... what's it called?
It's called Ko-Fi. So we eventually will... Ko-Fi set up. Spoilers, we're hoping to eventually launch a Patreon, hopefully in the fall. So keep an eye out for that. But in the meantime, we have this thing called Ko-Fi. If you're not familiar with Ko-Fi, it's kind of just like a little tip jar. It's like $3 to buy a cup of coffee. I wish you could change that, but that's like the lowest it's set to.
I'm like, because honestly, my coffee only costs $2.
Yeah.
And also, I could tip my barista.
Yeah,
with
right?
the extra dollar.
So see if you can, if you guys can donate to that. Right now I set the goal at $200 and I put what that would be for. So it would be for launching a new series, getting some lighting, and a little bit to cover like the taxes on that. is what the 200 will be for. We'll be doing those things regardless anyway, but
if you want to see them sooner,
yeah, the quicker we get the money for it, the quicker we can do it. I have, like, you know, my little savings set up for it.
Yeah, we got a little bit in, so
yeah. But yeah, so if you're interested in doing that, that's going to be Ko-Fi, which is ko-fi.com/bitbybit. You can also find that on the website. Basically, everything is linked to everything. So yeah, we will try to make that spiel shorter in the future.
We'll work on it.
But for now, thanks for checking us out, guys. Be sure to let us know what your thoughts are, and we will see you next week.
Thanks. Bye.